أن العلماء هم مصابيح الهدى ومنارات الدجى، هم الذين يهتدى بهم في الظلمات، هم الذين يأخذون بأيدي الأمة حينما تتخبط وحينما تحتار، هم كربان السفينة الذين يوصلون السفينة التي تتلاطمها الأمواج وتتقاذفها الأمواج إلى شاطئ الأمان والسلام، العلماء. ولذلك كان العلماء هم ورثة الأنبياء كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا إن العلماء هم ورثة الأنبياء، وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما، وإنما ورثوا العلم، فمن أخذ به أخذ بحظ وافر.
جزاكم الله خيرا. الشيخ محمد موسى ناصر continued in our discussion of the disease and its cure, and there's no doubt it's apparent they are witnessing the former, and the latter, that is, this cure, is just as clear and just as abundant and as widespread as its disease, its causes. So therefore we should know both aspects, and it's why we are, so far we discussed why we're suffering from the disease, we should also know how to cure these things. And the first thing you want to say right away, first of all, when we're talking about disease here, we're not talking about the disease of the body, of the mind, or the bodily organs. Even though we know that there are hospitals and doctors and treatments available nowadays to treat these things. And there's no doubt that the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said in an authentic tradition of a hadith, in the translation of the meanings, he says, verily, cure yourselves from your sickness through the Qur'an. So we know even the Qur'an, which we learn our guidance and receive our revelation from, is also a means of way of curing ourselves, even from those bodily sicknesses, those mental sicknesses. And another hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah did not send down a disease except that he sends with it its cure. So again, we're not going to exclude the bodily and mental diseases from this discussion, but we're not talking about in this sitting today. We're talking about the diseases of the heart, of the iman, of aqidah, of the minhaj, of character, of the way we behave, the way we carry on ourselves with each other, and more importantly, how we commute and relate ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator and our object of worship. This is the sickness, this is the disease that we're speaking about here, and this is the conditions of the Muslims that we have to correct. And obviously, and there's no doubt in the statement, is that we return to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our prophet who was given the guidance in its complete form, without anything being left out of it. For verily in the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it's authentically related from him, it cures a solution for every type of ill. And of course that includes the bodily and the mental, but more particularly the religious affairs, and that is through what we find our solution to our disease. And a hadith on Abdullah ibn Amr bin As, radiallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send a prophet. This hadith on Abdullah ibn Amr bin As, radiallahu anhu, translation of the meanings, Allah did not send a prophet except that they would guide their people to every good that was to be known of, and to warn them of every evil that there was to be feared from, or to keep away from. So Allah did not send any prophet except for this matter, is that they would warn them about that evil which they should abstain from, and every good that which they should seek from. Another hadith is the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in translation of the meanings, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent to teach everything. Another narration of one of the companions who said, verily the Prophet came to us to teach us about everything in our affairs, including the use of the toilet, even the use of those personal private affairs within the toilet. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala says in the Quran, and confirms it by saying, we did not leave anything from our message. We did not leave anything out of our message. We did not leave anything aside from our message. And of course, in a long narration for the Hajj al-Wada on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his farewell pilgrimage, which was witnessed by 70,000 of his companions, he came in front of the people with his forefinger raised to the sky and said, verily, have I not delivered the message? And the people said, yes, we witnessed that. We bear witness to that. And he did this three times. Yes, we bear witness to that. Yes, we bear witness. So this is a proof that only he delivered the message, people acknowledge it in his own time. And verily, this came with the following revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in translation of meaning from Surah Al-Ma'idah. Verily, this day I complete your religion, and I have completed my favor upon you, and this day I am pleased for you that I named this religion Al-Islam. And this is the proof and the conditions of the time of the revelation and the ayat of Allah to show that everything has been completed in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that includes the cure for what we are seeking. and brilliant narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, "Verily, I have left you upon the pure white ground, naqiyah, the pure white ground. Whoever finds this, they will be saved, and whoever deviates from it will find nothing but destruction." So he left us upon a white pure ground, which is his sunnah, and he who deviates from it will be destroyed. And another narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with those who go away from this sunnah, even though it is clear, even though it is pure, even though it's intact, even though it's been preserved. We do know that there is some misunderstanding, there is deviance, and this is without that not unforeseen by the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who announced to his people that verily there will be 30 false prophets after me. There will be 30 false prophets after me, so be warned about them, for they will deviate and mislead you. And a long hadith on Hudhayfah bin Yamani, radiallahu anhu, he mentioned in a statement, in the translation, it means that there will be sent to you false prophets and those people who will lead you into deviation, so be warned and stick close to the sunnah. And verily, the Prophet ﷺ, in another narration, he drew lines on the sand in various ways, in different directions. And he said, verily, the ummah will be split off into different groups and lines, and at the head of every line, meaning at the head of every deviation, there will be a shaitan. So be warned of that. So we've informed of this deviation. In this so much as we've been given the guidance to that which is good and pure, we have also been given the warnings, the wa'ad, and the admonition to fear that which deviates from this. And another narration of the Prophet ﷺ discusses the reasons behind this deviation, the reasons behind the people of the lack of knowledge, and the reason why people have fallen in disuse and lack of adherence to the way of our Prophet Muhammad and the authentic pure way of the Sunnah. And he mentioned, verily, there will become a time when the ignorance will be prevail and knowledge will be lifted, and will be knowledge will be lifted not by intiza'an, it won't be lifted by all at once, but it will be done by the death of the ulama, be death by the people of knowledge, so that there will be not remaining any scholar or anyone who has any knowledge, so much so that the people of ignorance will be making decisions without ilm, and that they will mislead themselves and so also mislead the people. So we see the conditions of this time is based on this aspect of lack of knowledge, the appearance of ignorance, and the fact that people have not adhered to the warnings and following this misguidance. The main fitna among the outer essentials, out of the deen of Islam, that we see has affected the internal aspect of Islam is the fitna of dunya, the worldly trials that we face every day, and more particularly here in the American continent, in the North American experience, the two major fitna that have been attacked the world and termed the ummah and divided from inside as a burrowing worm has taken out from its inner is money and women. Money and women. These are the main things that have misled people away from the way of Islam and the true way of the Salaf in terms of understanding through knowledge. Money is an enticement to gain more. Women having one is enticement to build upon that in terms of desire and lusts. And these things deviate the mind and the soul from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a way of shaitan taking the good people who are interested in the way of Islam away from Islam through those outer effects of the way of the dunya. So therefore we must refer to true knowledge as a salvation from not only the internal and deviances from Islam, from the spiritual matters, but also from the dunya aspects. And nowhere there be turning to the people of knowledge, to knowledge, and then clinging close to the people who carry that knowledge, and they are the ulama. We should not be among those who we witness today like the Christians. They live in a free, careless way because they act upon knowledge, without knowledge. And who are the biggest practitioners of money and women and those things that have infected the Muslim world and without in this world today? And they are the Christians. Because why? It's not because they don't have understanding or intelligence or that they have more desire for these things than Muslims do. It's because they act in their religious affairs without ilm. So therefore they deviate in their religion and they are infected by the worldly things. So therefore, there's no doubt for anyone to be saved in these times is strictly to be upon the knowledge of the way of Islam and the holders of the knowledge of the ulama. As the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in authentic tradition in a translation of the meanings in English, he said, verily the ulama are the warath al-anbiya. They are the inheritors. They are the legacy of the prophets. And verily the prophets did not leave behind any silver or gold. They didn't leave any silver or gold. No wealth. Verily their wealth is ilm. And ilm indeed is a great treasure. And verily in ilm, in knowledge of Islam, is a great treasure. We take these words and contemplate so we can continue understanding what the words of our Shaykh continue in this discussion.
وأعظم داء قديم جدا حذر منه الأنبياء وعلى رأسهم نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الشرك ودواؤه التوحيد. ما من نبي بعثه الله عز وجل إلا حذر أمته الشرك ودعا أمته إلى التوحيد الذي هو يضاد الشرك. وبدءا بنوح عليه السلام وختاما بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكل دعوة إصلاحية اليوم الأمس في المستقبل لا تتبنى التوحيد ولا تدعو إلى التوحيد ولا تحذر من الشرك الذي هو داء الأدواء وأصل كل داء، فهي دعوة هزيلة، دعوة هزيلة لا يمكن أن تستمر ولا يمكن أن تستقيم ولا يمكن أن تفلح. شأنها شأن الذي يبني السقف قبل الأساس، سرعان ما ينهار هذا السقف على رؤوس أصحابه. ولذلك الأنبياء عليهم السلام بدأوا بالتوحيد لأنه أساس كل إصلاح وأساس كل فضيلة. ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. وكل نبي جاء ليقول لقومه يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. ونبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو على فراش الموت يجود بألفاظه المقدسة المباركة، يودع هذه الدنيا وهو يقول لعنة الله على اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد، يحذر مما صنعوا. قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها ولولا ذلك لأبرز قبره، غير أنه خشي أن يتخذ وثنا وثنا يعبد من دون الله. ونهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الغلو فيه وإطرائه، قال لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم إنما أنا عبد الله ورسوله. وسمع رجل يقول له ما شاء الله وشئت يا رسول الله، فقال الله أكبر أجعلتني لله ندا، أي نظيرا ومثيلا، قل ما شاء الله ثم شئت يا رسول الله، أو قل ما شاء الله وحده. فنبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام أغلق أبواب الشرك وقضى على كل وسيلة تؤدي إلى الشرك. ولذلك نهى عن الغلو في مدح الآخرين، وعن الغلو في الحب والتعظيم، وعن الوقوف أما على رؤوس العظماء، وعن المبالغة، وأمر بالوسطية والاعتدال، لأن ديننا قائم على العدل، يكره الغلو ويكره الجفاء، يكره لا إفراط ولا تفريط كما قال الله عز وجل وابتغي بين ذلك سبيلا. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احبب حبيبك هونا ما عسى أن يكون بغيضك يوما ما، وأبغض عدوك هونا ما عسى أن يكون حبيبك يوما ما. وهكذا حتى في شأن العبادة لا زيادة ولا نقصان، والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما. ولا تجهر بصلاتك ولا تخافت بها وابتغي بين ذلك سبيلا. وأيضا في كل أمر من أمور الدنيا والدين لابد المسلم أن يكون بين في حالة وسط بين أهل الغلو وأهل الجفاء. وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك. فالغلو داء والجفاء داء، والدواء هو أن تكون وسطا عدلا مقتصدا، لا تغلو مع الغالين ولا تجفو مع الجافين، وإنما كما قال الحسن البصري رحمه الله دينكم، يعني دينكم الذي ارتضاه الله لكم، بين الغالي فيه يعني المتنطع. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام هلك المتنطعون، هلك المتنطعون، هلك المتنطعون، يعني المتشددون تشددا غير شرعي. وأيضا الجافون المفرطون المقصرون أيضا على خطر عظيم. والدين الذي ارتضاه الله هو الوسط. وهذه الأمة أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أمة الوسط، كما قال الله عز وجل: وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. لأن أمة الإسلام دينها الوسط ومنهجها الوسط، لذلك ويصل عليه العالم. فطريقة اليهود لا تصلح لإصلاح الأمة، لإصلاح العالم، لأن فيها غلو، لأن فيها جفاء. وطريقة النصارى لا يصلح عليه العالم، لأن فيها غلو تنطع في العبادة. اليهود عبدوا الله، عرفوا الحق وما اتبعوه، والنصارى جهلوا وما عملوا بالعلم وما تعلموا العلم ولا عملوا به. وأمة الإسلام هي المهيئة وهي المبوأة، مركز الصدارة، إذا لم تتبع سبيل هؤلاء وسبيل هؤلاء. ولذلك لماذا كتب الله عز وجل على كل مسلم 17 مرة في اليوم والليلة في الصلوات الخمس أن يقول في صلاته: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. غير المغضوب يعني لا سبيل اليهود ولا سبيل النصارى، وإنما سبيل أمة الإسلام، سبيل الذين أنعم الله عليهم، وهم الذين امتثلوا أوامر الله، أطاعوا الله وأطاعوا الرسول، كما قال الله عز وجل: ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. والثلاثة الذين جاءوا إلى بيوت أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسألون عن عبادته، فلما أخبروا بها كأنهم تقالوها، قالوا: وأين نحن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ ذاك رجل قد غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر. فقالوا، قال أولهم: أما أنا فأقوم الليل ولا أرقد أبدا. قال الثاني: وأما أنا فأصوم النهار ولا أفطر أبدا. قال الثالث: وأما أنا فأعتزل النساء ولا أتزوج أبدا. وجاء في بعض روايات الحديث أنه هم بأن يجئ نفسه، يعني أنه يعطل نفسه، يعطل قوته، يعطل قدرته على النساء. فبلغت هذه المقولة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فحمد الله وأثنى عليه، جمع الأمة وقال: ما بال أقوام يقولون كذا وكذا؟ أما والله إني لأتقاكم لله وأخشاكم له، ولكنني أقوم وأرقد وأصوم وأفطر وأتزوج النساء، فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. إذن الغلو والتشدد والتنطع قد يكون سبب، وهو داء يكون سبب في ضلال الإنسان وانحرافه. انظروا إلى الخوارج كيف حينما تنطعوا وتشددوا بغير حق أوجبوا على الحائض أن تقضي الصلوات الفائتة كما تقضي أيام الصيام التي أفطرتها. من أين لهم ذلك إلا التنطع والغلو، مع أنهم كانوا يقومون الليل ويصومون النهار، وكانت تعلو وجوههم صفرة من شدة القيام والصيام، ولكنهم غلوا في دين الله وفهموا دين الله فهما معوجا، وأرادوا أن يختطوا سبيلا ومنهجا يخالف سبيل الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، فضلوا وأضلوا. انظروا إلى الصوفية كيف غلوا في العبادة وجعلوها رهبانية. انظروا إلى الشيعة الرافضة كيف غلوا في حب آل البيت حتى جعلوهم معصومين وجعلوهم يعني رفعوهم إلى مقام الألوهية، وغلوا في الصحابة حتى كفروهم وأخرجوهم من الملة وشتموا الصديق والفاروق. وانظروا إلى أهل السنة والجماعة باعتدالهم وإنصافهم ووسطيتهم كيف أن الله عز وجل مدحهم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: افترقت اليهود والنصارى على 72 فرقة وستفترق أمتي على 73 كلها في النار إلا واحدة. هذه الواحدة هي الطائفة المنصورة والفرقة الناجية التي مشت على الصراط المستقيم وتوسطت واعتدلت واجتنبت غلو الغالين وجفاء الجافين، التي خطت خطها وفق ما رسمه الله عز وجل وما رسمه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، حيث قال الله عز وجل: وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. هذه السبل اللي ربنا حذرنا منها هي سبل أهل الغلو وأهل الجفاء، سبل المغضوب عليهم وسبل الضالين، لأن سبيل المغضوب عليهم اليهود وسبيل الضالين هو منبع كل فساد وأصل كل فساد وأصل كل انحراف وكل انحراف. ولذلك نستعيذ بالله منه في صلاتنا 17 مرة في اليوم والليلة. فإذا الغلو الإفراط والتفريط من الأدواء القاتلة التي تسبب للمسلم الانحراف عن دين الله والغلو والمروق من شرع الله، كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في ذم الخوارج، قال: يحقر أحدكم صلاته مع صلاتهم وصيامه مع صيامهم، يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوز حناجرهم، يمرقون من الدين، ومع ذلك يمرقون من الدين كما يمرق السهم من الرمية. فالعبرة إخواني ليست بالكم، العبرة بالكيف، كيف تكون أنت متبع للسنة للكتاب، وليس كم تصلي كم تصوم كم كم. إذا كان صومك وصلاتك وعبادتك على غير هدى فلن تزدد من الله إلا بعدا. ولذلك كان أهل البدع من المتنطعين ومن المغالين، والابتداع في الدين من الأدواء القاتلة التي تبعد الإنسان عن سبيل المؤمنين. قال الله تعالى: ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا.
Continuing discussion of disease and the affliction upon the Ummah, and both before time and presently, we discussed the oldest disease that's present upon the Ummah of our time and going back to the earliest of time, and that disease is called shirk, that is attachment to any other worship other than Allah, in complementation, confrontation, compromising, or denial of Allah and His oneness. And this has affected all of the Anbiya, all the prophets before, and their people. So this disease is with us today, as it was in the oldest society. It's the oldest disease. And the cure, both past, present, and future, lies into the cure for that main disease of shirk, and that is the tawheed, the establishment, and the correction, and the attainment of that oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His worship. So it is our protection of that aspect of Islam that is the solution for all our ills. And that is the main ill of our ummah, is the act of shirk. All prophets and anbiya who came, were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, started with tawheed. When they approached the people, whatever malady or crisis or calamity, it is through tawheed that they were ordered by Allah to be sent to Him. And it was the source of all, it's the ras, that is the head of all correctness, islaha. It is the head of all goodness and correctiveness and all goodness. And that is Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in the translation of the meanings, we did not send any prophet except that they should order their people that they should worship Allah alone and to avoid washtanibu taghut. They should keep far from anything that deviates them from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would be false idols or anything that leads or denies or compromises the worship of Allah and His oneness. Taghut. So these are the things that the Prophet sent with, to order to the worship of Allah alone and to avoid taghut. And another ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the translation of the meanings, Allah says, worship Allah alone and leave and avoid all taghut and anything that divides him. In the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see clearly this was his purpose. This was the purpose of all the anbiya, and it was continued in the last Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much so that even in his trial and the time of hardship and his deathbed. From the deathbed he cursed and yelled out in the translation of meanings, "May Allah curse the Jews and the Christians." And against for what aspect did he curse them for? He said, "For verily they take the graves and their prophets as places of worship." The Jews and Christians he cursed from his deathbed with only a few tiny threads that held him to this life and this world. He used his last energy and breath for the guidance of people to keep from that thing that caused shirk. And that was to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he cursed Jews and Christians because they took their places of worship, the prophets' places, the death places, their graves, as places of worship. So much so that Aisha radiallahu anha, hearing this statement, that she said, "Verily, I wished I could have hid and covered and obscured the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for fear of the people for taking this as a place in exaggeration and into a way of place of other than worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." This is the thing that she heard when she heard this statement, that she wished she could have done that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "For those who exceed Allah's limits, they are the ones who are going to enter the fire." So verily we see the warnings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his deathbed, and those things that lead you to worship other than him is through mainly through the ways of the religion, through exaggeration. Either through exaggeration or falling short of the duties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It really falls one way or the other. The extreme, gulu, or the jufa, they come too far falling short of the duties and the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, through the religious affairs, most people find their disease and their punishment. Either exceeding the limits of Allah or falling short of this. And very the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said very clear, be careful and beware of ghulu, extremism in the religion. For verily it destroyed those as it will destroy you as it destroyed those who came before you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a way out and made us clear as being an ummatun wasita, that we are a righteous and perfect ummah. They are one that stands in between that which is extreme and that which is falling short. But verily, the translation of the meanings of this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Verily, we have made you a ummatun wasita, a perfect and just nation, a people. And verily, you are a witness to all humanity, and over you as a witness is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So he is our guide and model, and we enacting and fulfilling the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we become a model and guidance for all humanity. And we must not exaggerate in our religious affairs, because this is the thing that leads to most destruction of the ummah, in deviation, and in following other than what Allah has came down with. A middle course in following through the belief in Allah and His Tawheed, not exaggerating in His oneness, or not abstracting Him in His oneness. And verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Fatiha, in the Quran, in the Fatiha that we recite many times in the day, 17 times, in our Fard Salat alone. We recite this every time. اهدنا صراط مستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Oh Allah, we ask Allah to guide us to that straight path. And what is that straight path? That is the straight and middle path that does not exaggerate nor fall short. And is not among those who Allah has, His anger is upon, who did not follow that straight path. And they are the Jews and the Christians. They either fell short in terms of their obedience to Allah in terms of the Christians, or the Jews where they exceeded Allah and by adding and changing His religion. They are the ones we wish to not be like. We want to be anamta alayhim. We ask in Surah Fatiha, we want to be among those who Allah has showed His favor and His blessings. And in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms those who Allah's blessings and favor is upon. And they are those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in translation, meaning that verily we have sent our favor and blessing upon those who we are the anbiya, the nabiyin, with the shuhada, those who die in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the siddiqeen. These are the ones who have true belief without wavering in their faith, and the salihin. And these are the ones who act upon the authentic sunnah without deviating. These are the four groups of people of Allah who will be have His blessings upon. And these are who we ask Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha every day in our salah. And verily, that is the way of the true middle course. That is the true way of knowledge. And that is the way of righteousness and perfection in Islam. In a narration of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see him even among the companions. There were those who went over and above. They said, "I will be one who does not sleep at night. I will stand in salah." Another one said, "I will give up eating during the day and fast every day." Another one said, "I will castrate myself and become one who does not marry women." When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he was angry. He said, "Verily, I eat, I sleep, and I marry women. And who does not follow my way, they are not from me. Those who do not follow my sunnah, my way, they are not from me." So verily the Prophet ﷺ very clearly nipped in the bud. He stopped any ways and means for people to deviate in extremism in Islam. And he mentioned among those, among the past people, and even today, those who stand all night in salah, withhold from food, and they become yellow in their complexion from the harm and the disease they put not only in their hearts from deviating, but even on their bodies. We see that the extremism in this religious affairs has become, made them standing out in this effect. And among the most principal groups in this endeavor we see today, we see them clearly in the example of the Sufis, who exaggerate in their devotion and in their asceticism and their love and other things that lead them away from the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Shia, the Rafida, those who attach their allegiance to the Ahlul Bayt as extreme, and their exaggeration of their love have left them in the most despicable habits, leading them away from the true way of the Sunnah. And verily the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned them about these and others. Verily said in the translation, the meaning of the hadith, verily this ummah will split into 73 groups, and every one of these groups will be in the hellfire except for one. And they are that which I am upon, and they are that which are my companions upon in this day. So therefore the solution is clear. We know that divisions are going to occur. Extremism is that there. The solution is return back to the middle course. That is the straight road, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, that which the Allah's favor is upon, the Anbiya, the Shuhada, the Siddiqeen and Salihin. And verily all deviants either have too little worship. Anybody who deviates in the religion fall on these two sides. Either they fall short of the obligations, or they exaggerate in their obligations. And therefore the end result is tahrif. They change the religion. The religion is changed with them. And obviously we see this among the Jews and the Christians. They either exaggerate in the religion, their adherence to it, such as the Jews, or the Christians who fall short in their obligations to Allah. And they eventually, we see today, as we are witness to that, they have changed their religion. They did it through, not through the guidance of Allah, but through their own ahwa, their desires. Therefore, we go back to our original point we made, that you must make your adherence to the religion based on ilm. And ilm is that which Allah sends down in His revelation. And when you use your desires, you end up like these people. These people who are the ones who are deviant, who fall short or go beyond that which Allah has not omitted. And he used the example of the Samiri, who was with the people of Musa alayhi salam when he was on the mountain, and by his own desires he changed his own understanding, and he made ideas that they changed people to worship an idol out of gold because of some dust or footpath that he picked up and threw at it. These are the things that people came from their own desires, not from the revelation. And we see that in the Quran, we see that in the Sunnah, and we see that in living among us in our times. And verily the narration of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned from the Quran in the final ayat, he mentioned, very, whoever yushaqiqu, whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the mu'mineen. And who are the mu'mineen? They're the Sahaba. They're the people who were the first people who came the revelation to them, and that includes the Prophet himself. And those who oppose them means deviate from them. Oppose here means deviate from them. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send upon them a punishment, and verily they will be the ones who will not succeed. And what is waiting for them is Sa'at Masira, and what a very evil destination they're in. This is the warning from Allah and His Prophet, and we should be warned, and we should continue.
إذا عرفنا أيها الإخوة أن أصل الضلال والانحراف ناتج عن سبيلين، سبيل المغضوب عليهم وهم اليهود، وسبيل النصارى وسبيل الضالين وهم النصارى. يرد علينا قول أحد السلف،
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Just a little announcement, brothers, please, there's more room downstairs. Brothers upstairs, please sit close. This is of the adab of this majalis of the shuyukh, to sit close as possible. Make room, do not leave any gaps. And there's room downstairs, inshallah, for the overfill, inshallah. There's no room upstairs. Our only recourse is downstairs. Please make yourselves brothers and close to each other in body and mind, inshallah.
أقول إذا علمنا أن سبب الضلال وسبب الانحراف ناتج عن سبيل المغضوب عليهم وهم اليهود وسبيل الضالين وهم النصارى تذكرنا قول أحد السلف من فسد من علمائنا ففيه شبه باليهود لأنهم عبدوا الله عرفوا الحق وانحرفوا عنه ومن فسد من عبادنا ففيه شبه بالنصارى لأنهم عبدوا الله بالجهل وإن فساد العلماء أو فساد العالم أشد فتكا بالأمة من فساد العابد لأن العلماء محل القدوة فهناك بعض المنتسبين للعلم لا أقول العلماء لأن العالم هو الذي يخشى الله وهو الذي يتبع سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتبع ولا يبتدع. أقول بعض المنتسبين للعلم الذين فتن بهم جماهير غفيرة من الأمة يفتون فتاوى تخالف الكتاب والسنة، وربما يتبعوا في فتاويهم أهواء يعني جهات، سواء جهات شعبية أو رسمية، وربما اتبعوا في فتاويهم جهات غربية، حتى لتظن أن هذا العالم الذي يكتب إنما هو مستشرق من المستشرقين، رضع من لبان الغرب وتأثر بهم، حتى إن هناك من يشار إليهم بالبنان يتبنون مدارس عقلانية ويردون أحاديث صحيحة في أصح كتاب بعد كتاب الله في البخاري، ويتأولون آيات القرآن، ويفتون فتاوى لا تدل على تقوى ولا على ورع عياذا بالله. فأقول هؤلاء يعني إفسادهم ومشاركتهم في أمراض الأمة له دور كبير. لذلك جاء في الأثر أو جاء في الحديث، وزلة العالم زلة العالم، والعالم العالم إذا زلت بزلته أمم وشعوب. من أجل ذلك حذر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام من العلماء المفتونين، اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا، أشباه العلماء الذين يتصدرون وليسوا بعلماء ولكن الناس تظنهم من العلماء. إن حينما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إن الله لا ينتزع العلم انتزاعا من قلوب العلماء، إنما ينتزعه بقبض العلماء، حتى إذا لم يبق عالم اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. ولكن الله عز وجل قيض لهذه الأمة علماء ربانيين في كل زمان وفي كل حين، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يحمل هذا العلم من كل خلف عدوله، ينفون عنه تحريف الغالين وانتحال المبطلين وتأويل الجاهلين، وهم حجة الله على خلقه في كل زمان. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله يبعث لهذه الأمة على رأس كل 100 عام من يجدد لها أمر دينها. فلا تزال طائفة من أهل العلم قائمة بالحق، هم قدوة، يذبون عن هذا الدين كل دخيل، لأنه للأسف ألحق بالإسلام ما ليس منه في العقيدة، أدخلت فلسفات وعقائد منحرفة، أشعرية وماترودية ومعتزلة ومرجئة وخوارج وغلاة وغير ذلك. وفي باب الأحاديث النبوية التفسير أدخلت إسرائيليات وموضوعات وخرافات، وفي كتب الفقه دخلها ما ليس منها من مسائل ليست من الكتاب والسنة في شيء. ولذلك كان شيخنا إمام العصر العلامة الألباني عليه رحمة الله حينما يسأل ما هو المخرج مما فيه الأمة، كان يقول باختصار: التصفية والتربية، يعني تصفية ما علق بالإسلام من بدع وخرافات وأحاديث موضوعة وضعيفة شوهت جمال الإسلام، وتزكية وتربية الأمة على هذا الإسلام الصحيح. يعني الآن الإسلام أو المسلمون بقصد أو بغير قصد ألحقوا في الإسلام أشياء كثيرة ليست من الإسلام في شيء. تصدى العلماء الربانيون لهذه الخرافات وهذه البدع وهذه الأحاديث الضعيفة والموضوعة وتلك العقائد الفاسدة، فردوا عليها وأبطلوها وألفوا وصنفوا جزاهم الله خير، وبذلوا جهدا كبيرا في ذلك. وهذا باب التصفية. وباب التربية هو أشق من ذلك. هذا الإسلام الصحيح كما ربى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصحابة على الإسلام الصحيح، نحن بحاجة الآن إلى أن ندل الأمة على الإسلام الصحيح كتابا وسنة ومنهج سلف الأمة، ثم نربيهم على ذلك كما بين الله عز وجل وظيفة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما قال: هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. فلا بد إذن من التصفية والتربية. والتزكية يا إخواني لها والتزكية لها سبب لفلاح الإنسان. قال الله عز وجل: قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى. فالتزكية، من غير تزكية لا يمكن لأحد أن يدخل الجنة، فلا بد من تزكية النفس. وتزكية النفس لا يكون من غير معرفة الإسلام الصحيح، لأن الصوفي يريد أن يزكي نفسه ولكنه يزكي نفسه فيفسدها بالبدع والخرافات والمنكرات. المنحرف في عقيدته يريد أن يزكي نفسه ولكن يزكي على غير هدى وعلى غير سبيل. مثل إنسان يريد أن يغذي جسده فيأكل السموم ويأكل النجاسات فيزداد مرضا ويزداد سقما ويزداد بلاء، فبدل أن يشفى ويصح يمرض ويسقم. فلا بد إذن من معرفة الإسلام الصحيح الذي ربى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابه عليه، ثم تربية الأمة تربية صحيحة على هذا الإسلام الصحيح بواسطة علماء ربانيين عاملين بإسلامهم بالحق قاموا وبه يعدلون، يخافون الله وينصحون للأمة ويكونون في أنفسهم قدوة للأمة، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان قدوة فأثر في أصحابه. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر. فنبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام يحذرنا من أدواء وأمراض، كما في حديث العرباض بن سارية حيث قال: وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة بليغة وجلت منها القلوب وذرفت منها العيون، فقالوا: يا رسول الله كأنها موعظة مودع. قالوا: يا رسول الله كأنها موعظة مودع فأوصنا. قال: أوصيكم بتقوى الله والسمع والطاعة، فإنه من يعش منكم بعدي هذا الأدواء. وسنرى كيف النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يصرف الدواء. إنه من يعش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا. فالاختلاف هذا من الأدواء القاتلة التي ابتليت بها الأمة الإسلامية. فعليكم بسنتي، هذا هو الدواء. إنه من يعش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا، هذا داء. فعليكم بسنتي، هذا دواء، وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، لأن سنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من سنة رسول الله، سنتهم لا تخرج على سنة رسول الله، وهم الذين أشار الله إليهم بقوله: ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين. هم سبيل المؤمنين. ولذلك نحن نقول: لا بد من الكتاب والسنة وفهم سلف الأمة، لأنهم هم الذين فهموا الإسلام فهما صحيحا وطبقوه وترجموه في الواقع، وهم الذين اصطفاهم الله لصحبة نبيه، وهم أمامنا في كل خير، وهم الذين حازوا على شهادة الرضا من الله رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه، وهم الذين أنزل الله فيهم أول ما أنزل: كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. فهم قدوتنا وهم أسوتنا، وهم كل خير فاتهم فلا خير فيه، وكل خير فعلوه فهو الواجب الاتباع. فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين بعدي، عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور، هذه دواء، أدواء أخرى، أمراض أخرى، محدثات البدع، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. ما هو الدواء؟ عليكم بسنتي. فالبدعة تقابلها السنة، البدعة داء والسنة دواء. بل نقذف بالحق على الباطل فيدمغه فإذا هو زاهق، وقل جاء الحق أي السنة والكتاب وزهق الباطل أي البدعة والشرك إن الباطل كان زهوقا. ونتذكر حديث النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أيضا آخر حيث قال إذا تبين نفس أو جهاد الكلمة واللسان والبيان فكله جهاد. وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله وكل هذه أدواء سلط الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزعه حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. هذا هو الدواء. أكل الربا داء، ترك الجهاد في سبيل الله داء، التكالب على الدنيا والتناحر فيها داء، العودة إلى الدين الذي ارتضاه الله دواء. فدواء هذه الأمة من كل أدوائها وأمراضها أن تعود إلى الله حتى ترجع إلى دينكم، حتى ترجع إلى دينكم بأي مفهوم؟ بمفهوم الشيعة الرافضة؟ لا. بمفهوم الصوفية؟ لا. بمفهوم الخوارج المعتزلة الشعرية الماتريدية؟ بمفهوم الحزبيين الذين فرقوا الأمة شيعا وأحزابا؟ بمفهوم التكفيريين؟ بمفهوم الغلاة؟ لا، بالمفهوم السني السلفي الذي ربى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصحابة عليه، حتى ترجع إلى دينكم الذي قال الله فيه اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم، الذي قال في رسول الله ما أنا عليه وأصحابي، حينما ذكر أهل الفرق قال كلها في النار، وقال ما أنا عليه وأصحابي الفرقة الناجية. فمعنى قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم أي ترجعوا إلى دينكم الأول، ترجعوا إلى دين الإسلام الذي كان عليه أبو بكر الصديق وعمر وعثمان وعلي، اللي قال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام فيه عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين بعد عبد الله بن نواجد. ولذلك نعلم أن المنهج السلفي هو المنهج الذي تصلح عليه الأمة ويصلح عليه العالم والمستقبل له. لكن الشيطان دخل على أهل المنهج من خلال الاختلاف ومن خلال التقاطع والتدابر ومن خلاف من خلال التفرق، لأن هذه غاية الشيطان وهي سبيل الشيطان. فإن الشيطان يبث جنوده كل يوم ويرجعون في المساء فيسألهم، له عرش على الماء يبث جنوده في الصباح يرجعون في المساء يقول لهم كل واحد أنت ماذا فعلت، يقول لازلت بفلان حتى زنى فيقول لم تفعل شيئا يوشك أن يتوب، أنت ماذا فعلت لازلت بفلان حتى شرب الخمر لم تفعل شيئا يوشك أن يتوب، أنت حتى يأتي واحد يقول له ماذا فعلت، يقول لازلت بفلان حتى فرقت بينه وبين أهله، فرقت بينه وبين إخوانه، فيدنيه الشيطان منه ويربط على كتفه ويقول أنت 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 أنت. ذلك التفرق في الدين ليس من منهج الموحدين. التفرق في الدين شعار المشركين، قال الله تعالى ولا تكونوا من المشركين من الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعة كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. فنحن الآن بحاجة إلى توحيد الكلمة على كلمة التوحيد، توحيد الكلمة على كلمة التوحيد، لا توحيد الأمة قبل كلمة التوحيد. هناك دعوات قائمة حزبية وغير حزبية تدعو إلى توحيد الأمة بعيدا عن كلمة التوحيد، وهي لن تفلح أبدا ولن يكون هناك اجتماع، لأن الله عز وجل أمر بتوحيد الكلمة على كلمة التوحيد. قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. فإذا عرفنا أيها الإخوة هذه الأدواء وعرفنا إذا عرفنا هذه الأمراض وهذه الأدواء وعرفنا صرف الدواء وعرفنا العلاج وعرفنا المخرج مما نحن فيه، فإنه لم يبقى علينا إلا أن نستعين بالله عز وجل ونتوجه إلى الله ونطبق ونأخذ هذا الداء ونأخذ هذا الدواء ونحذر ذاك الداء حتى ننجو بأنفسنا وأهلينا وإخواننا ونكون عند الله عز وجل من الله بمكان ونكون عند الله قد من المرضي عنا، فإننا حينئذ سيحقق الله عز وجل كل وعد وعده عباده الصالحين المؤمنين المخلصين، وسنحشر بإذن الله مع السلف الصالح. فإن الرجل يحشر مع القوم ولما يلحق بهم، يعني لا يكون عمله كعملهم ولكنه يحبهم ويتشبه بهم ويقلدهم، فإنه يحشر معهم. ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يهدي المسلمين وأن يؤلف بين قلوبهم وأن يجمع لهم على كلمة الحق والتوحيد، وأن يجنبنا وإياكم مضلات الفتن، وأن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
Jazakumullah khairan. In the conclusion of our discussion of that which has befallen us and afflicted us in terms of disease, and that which is available to us and we have access to, and to the day of judgment, and resolving our trials and our affliction with its cure, we see that all disease follows the root of two main misguidances, and that is the deviant ways of two, which is mentioned, as we already related from Surah Al-Fatiha, the way of the Jews and the Christians, Jews who Allah has anger upon, where they exceeded Allah's limits and they changed Allah's religion, thereby accruing Allah's wrath upon them, and as well as the Christians who fell short of their obligations and then indeed changing their religion to misguidance. And this way of misguidance and deviance are found in clearly in these two ways. And it's an old saying of the scholars, which has been related from the previous times, that they said, whoever is corrupt from our scholars are likened to be or have the attributes of the Jews. And those who are corrupt from among our devout ones, they are alike the Christians in their behavior. Because verily those who are the holders of knowledge, when they are corrupt, indeed everything else falls away from the society and the religion, because they are the holders of the knowledge. When they go astray, everything else is in loss. And those who build Islam in schools today, we see those are the leaders, so-called leaders of Islam, and through their intellectualism or adding their desires and opinions with the knowledge that they distribute among the people, through intellectualism, modernism, and corruption of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed the statement of these earlier scholars is true. When we see the corruption in them, we see the reflection of the Jews in that respect. And from the people who are ignorant and the devoutness, when they go above the deeds that Allah has ordained in the Sunnah, they are indeed like the Christians. And when they deceive the scholars, and again, the Ummah declines. Therefore, we see again, reiterating the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in translation of the meanings. We said, the ilm will be taken away by the death of scholars. This is apparent among us now. This is the reasons why we see this in the root of all the two types of deviances, of going beyond extreme or falling short. And it's done not by one instant, but by through the death of the ulama, when there'll be nothing left by the ignorant ones. And they will make decisions without knowledge, and they in turn will lead themselves astray, and they will lead others astray. So therefore, we are to guard, we are guaranteed, however, in the way of the Sunnah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to avoid this. Even through the lack of knowledge of the scholars, we have the intact Sunnah available to us. And verily, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the narration, he said in translation, meaning, verily this ilm will be carried by the Udula. Every generation there will be a people who carry the religion, who are the trustworthy ones, who protect it from the change of those who wish to change religion, those who corrupt the religion through deviance by their own desires, and those who exaggerate in their religion. So this is the protection of the Ummah by these people who exist in every generation, and these are the trustworthy ones. We see today among the Muslims learning from the people who have understanding from the Mu'tazila, the people of Ash'ari, the people of Ahwa and desires, the people who change their religion and are deviant. So therefore, what is the status of our position in terms of protecting ourselves? What is the cure for this? Well, he mentioned his esteemed teacher and our teacher, our imam of our time in hadith, Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani rahimahullah, who said very clearly, it is found in two basic ideas on which we stand upon our cure and as a protection against disease in our times is number one, tasfiyah and tarbiyah. That is purification of yourself. Clear out the debris of deviation and misguidance from inside and from without of your worship, and tarbiyah, the education and learning process of that which are religion. In terms of tasfiyah, it is simply knowing the distinction between that which is weak and which is acceptable in authentic hadith. Know that which is related truthfully on our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and abandoning, clearing out that which is not based upon him. Knowing the difference between haqq and batil, reducing and clearing out from ourselves, purifying from ourselves that which is falsehood, and accepting only that which is haqq, which is the truth. And in terms of tarbiyah, it is means educating ourselves first, educating our ummah, and knowing the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah said in the Quran in translation the meanings, we have not sent to you except a prophet who was unlettered, ummiyun, he was not literate, but a prophet among you, from you, purifying you. So here's the purification. Purification by warning them against that which was evil, beginning with shirk. And he also taught them the Quran and the hikmah. The Quran, the words of Allah, and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While you were before dhalal mubeen, you were very clearly misguided before. So we have our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was sent to us. He was sent among us who are from our own type, human beings, and he guided us to the truth. It is obligatory that we know the basis of our deen, the basic understanding of our deen through the way of the authentic sunnah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can distinguish that which is truth and that which is falsehood, that which is sunnah and that which is bid'ah. Verily in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily in the Prophet you have a uswatan hasana, that verily in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you have a perfect example in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he is our guide if we are going to find any way out in terms of correctness and model. And in another narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gathered the people together in one group and they looked in the tear in the eyes as if there was a final sermon, a final advice, a final admonition. And they said, advise us, because we seem to be, this may be a final advice. So he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fear Allah in taqwa and obey those who are in authority over you. And there will be many differences, ikhtilaf and kathira. So he warned us about the differences that will occur, that we guaranteed by his promise, by the worship of Allah and his guidance, he warned us of these things. So he said, hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of my khulafa rashidin, of the khulafa rashidin mahdiin, the authentically, righteously guided khulafa that would follow me among my companions. So here is the disease, the ikhtilaf and kathira, and here is the cure in the very words of the Prophet, in the same hadith. The disease, differences, deviation from the authentic way. And what is the cure? Hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Salaf al-Salihin, Khulafa al-Rashidin. They are the Salaf. They are the ones who were the one who know the sunnah. They are the ones who took the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it was given to them. They are the ones who we turn to and those we gather our understanding from. Very Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are the best people raised in humanity. Khairul ummatin. The best people who is Allah talking about? The best people he's talking about, the Sahaba. They were the best people raised from all human beings. For verily they ordered the maruf, they ordered that which was good and obligatory, and they prohibited the people from munkar, and these are the ones who are muflihun. These are the ones who are going to be successful. So who are the Allah talking about here? Who is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about? They're about our pious predecessors, and they are the companions. They are the ones who distinguish between bid'ah and shirk. They knew what sunnah and tawheed was. They are the ones to whom we determine that criterion, temyiz. We make that distinguishing upon that way they made the distinguishment. Verily, the Prophet continued in the same hadith, hold fast to my sunnah and hold it with your molars, your molar teeth, nawadij, because we know it's going to be tough, and it's that thing that we use when the times get tough. We bear down as if we bear down with our teeth, and it's time to do that in this time of affliction and disease and calamity. That is what we have to do. This is part of jihad. Whether through jihad of the body, jihad of your soul, of your inner part, or jihad of the kalimat, using the kalimat of La ilaha illa as your tawheed, and struggling to establish that is the jihad, and struggle in its linguistic sense, that you must struggle for this. is the time to do that. This is when you're obligated and is necessary to survive as part of the way of the Salaf by being strong in that. And Allah, Prophet ﷺ, in another narration said, "Verily Allah will allow to come upon you dhulla. Allah will allow to come upon you dhulla hatta tarju ila dinakum. Until," and another translation of this English means unless, or until, a condition here. Allah will send upon you Muslims a dhulla until or unless you return to your religion. So here in the same statement of the Prophet ﷺ, we see the disease and the cure. The disease is dhul, affliction, calamity, distress. And what is the cure? Returning to your religion. So what is that cure? Is the cure based on the understanding of the Mu'tazila? Their understanding is the understanding that people make takfir, who make people unbelievers among the people of the Ummah of Muhammad. Are they the ones who understand the understanding that we adhere to? Are they the ones who return to understanding our religion? Are they the ones of the deviants that we return our religion to? No. We return our religion to the understanding of those who were first recipients of that religion, that which Allah Himself has made clear in the ayats, and the way Muhammad Himself has made clear in His authentic narrations, and they are the Sahaba. They are the who are the first of the generations and the best of all generations. And he mentioned this, his sunnah and the sunnah of Khulafa al-Rashideen, hold it on with your molars. So this is that which we have to grasp. And the biggest threat to the evil that resides with today, in this society particularly, he mentioned, is not the drink, the alcohol, the drugs, the women, fornication. These are things that are around us. It is that thing that sits between our shoulder blades, is that evil one that incites us to say, "Halanta, who are you? Who thinking that you have some kind of status in the world, that you have some status among the ummah, that you must follow somebody because of this status." This is the evil one that we have to be careful of, because it incites the Muslims that we must follow groups, follow deviants, and therefore we find ourselves just as misguided as those who are misguiding the people. So what do we return to? We return to Tawheed, we turn to the oneness of Allah and His worship, and the oneness of the Sunnah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, without deviating from that which was understood by those earliest people. Very Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayat of Quran, "Worship Allah and obey Him, and He will suffice you, He will reward you with Jannah, and He is the best of guides." So verily Allah has given us the clear indication of that way. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayat He says, He is the one who guides us. He is the one we ask to guide us in the Surah Al-Fatiha every day. He is the one who sets straight the road that is no other straightness than He has made straight. And that is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who walked upon and tread that path with nobleness. And that is the way of the Salaf. He is the one who guides us. He is the one who can help us. He sent down the disease and trial to separate us into those upon the truth and the falsehood. We must make that distinguishment, and we must ask Allah to guide us to that way which is true, and keep us from those who are not upon the truth, and bring us together, not divide us, but bring us together upon that which He has made one, and that is the Quran, and that is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May I give us health, give us satisfaction and completion in our religion, and freedom from all disease. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله سبحانه وبحمدك واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله واستغفر الله وأتوب إليه.
أن يعقب الصبر والاحتساب وأن يثبت صاحب عليه وأن يترقى، وعلامة العذاب أن يكون هذا العذاب يأتي على قوم ظالمين مجرمين، ولا يكون لا يصدر عنهم صبر، ولا يكون ذلك دافعا لهم إلى الإيمان، وإنما يكون هذا سببا في طغيانهم عياذا بالله. فالابتلاء يكون للمؤمنين، والعذاب يكون للكافر المجرمين. وقد يقع عذاب على المسلمين خصوصا إذا كانوا فسق فجر صدرت منهم معاصي وذنوب، ولكنه لا يكون استئصالا لأمة الإسلام جميعا، لأن هذا من الأدعية التي دعاها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، فاستجاب الله دعاءه ألا يسلط على أمة الإسلام عذابا يستأصلهم من آخرهم.
The first question is, what is the difference between punishment and trial? For verily the outward effects are sometimes very similar and they cannot be distinguished. So what is the difference between punishment per se and trial, ibtila? We said very clearly, there is a quite extreme difference, because it's divided between those who are afflicted by it, whether they are believers or non-believers. And verily, the non-believers are the ones who are afflicted with punishment, both individually and as a group. Of course, verily, they are the ones who disbelieve in Allah, disobey Him, and then the punishment comes upon them, as Allah sent His punishment upon peoples, both past and present. As far as the believers, when they are afflicted with any type of calamity or disease or trial, verily it is something to test them. And for those among the Muslims who are upon the way, they do it through patience and supplication. And this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges those under who are afflicted by these things, who are upon the correct road, and those who are not. And verily, it is through exaggeration, disobedience, that these things come about, both for among the believers and among the non-believers. And there's no doubt that Muslims themselves are punished. When they are punished, they act in criminal deeds, they act in sinful ways, in evil and disobedience. And there's no doubt when they enact these things, they are punished individually. The effect of these acts by the Muslims individually do not supersede the community. In other words, if a person is evil and commits criminal acts and they deserve and have the right to be punished by Allah Ta'ala, they themselves are punished for it, and they do not supersede the Ummah by having the Ummah suffer because of their sins. Where the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily, when a person sins, they carry that responsibility, and nobody carries the responsibility of the other in their deeds. So therefore we know that indeed Muslims do suffer punishment, and this must be recognized, and it's because again of their own hands and what they set forth. But in terms of the general acability of calamity and trials, it is for the believer as a test, as a way of examination and testing of their situation with their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn to Him in supplication and patience, and this is the way out from that situation.
سائل يقول هل يخلد 72 الفرقة الضالة في جهنم هل هم مسلمون؟ الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قال وستفترق أمتي. إذن هم مسلمون ولكنهم يدخلون النار، ولا يلزم من دخولهم النار أن يخلدوا فيها، ولو كانوا كفارا مشركين لما نسبهم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لنفسه وقال أمتي، لأن الكافر ليس من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، والمرتد ليس من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولكنهم ضلوا السبيل وانحرفوا عن منهاج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فهم يدخلون النار. أما تلك الطائفة الناجية فهي التي لا تمسها النار، وأما هؤلاء 72 فرقة ضالة فإنهم يدخلون النار ويلبثون فيها ما شاء الله، ثم يخرجون بالشفاعة أو متى شاء الله عز وجل.
The second question and final question for this evening, inshallah ta'ala, because of the constraint of time, we'll reserve any other questions that we have, inshallah, for the next few nights that the Sheikh will hear. Hold on to your questions. This is the final question for this evening before we establish the salah. The second and final question is, will the people of the 72 groups, of the 73 groups that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about being in the hellfire, will they stay in the hellfire forever? And what are they, the Muslimun, are those among those 72 who will be in the hellfire? So among those 72 out of the 73, only one will be saved. And those 72, will they remain in hellfire forever? And are they Muslims? So clearly without that, he said in the narration, it talks about ummati, my nation, my people. So by this meaning, we know that the people who are among these 72 groups that are going to be in the hellfire, they will be Muslims. For those who are not among his ummah, who rejected his way, disbelieved in Allah, are unbelievers, or those who are in Islam and they apostatize, they're no longer part of the religion. So they're not included in these 73 groups. And that one group, which is the saved group, is that group that which not will be touched by the fire, will not be touched by the fire. The other 72 will be Muslim, and an account of the deviation and lack of adherence and the way the Prophet himself already prophesied and promised us, they will go to the hellfire, but the condition in the hellfire is not eternal. For verily, they will be among the Muslims who will be in the hellfire and punished for a time, as Allah wishes, and will be taken out at a time when Allah wishes. And this is the correct understanding of the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah, and verily, there will be Muslims, 72 of these Muslim people in the hellfire. One of them will be saved, and saved here, Najiha, means they will not be touched by the fire. This is what we understand from the way of the Prophet and his tradition, and above all, Wallahu A'lam, And verily Allah knows best in these affairs. We ask the Shaykh Jazakumullah Khair for his patience and his trial in giving us a very extensive talk. Questions will be answered. He's available by phone, both from the masjid number and the number of...